in January. We're going to be doing a couple of different topics each week. Well, we're still in December now, aren't we? But so over the summer holidays. And then term one, we're going to be doing a series on the kingdom of God, just to get you ready of what's coming ahead. And we don't often talk in that language as much anymore in our church. But if you read through the books of Matthew, Mark and Luke, they talk about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God a lot. Jesus, it's one of his favourite ways of describing the kingdom, of describing God and what God's doing. And so we're going to be doing a series on the kingdom of God, term one. But over the holidays, we've got a few different things happening each week. And I guess today, you can see on there, I just want us to stop for a moment and have a bit of reflect on the year that's been for you and for me. So let's pray together, and then we're going to do that together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness to us. Each day, each year is a gift from you. We acknowledge that you are the one that holds all life in your hands. We're not the ones that are controlling life. It's you, God. And so we give you thanks for another day and another year. And we just want to pray, God, as we think about this year, you might help us to think wisely about the difficult times and also about the great times we've had. And that you would be at the center of all we do and hope and dream for. Jesus, you would be at the center. In your name, amen. Well, another year's just about ticked over, hasn't it? Who's up for a big New Year's Eve party? No, you're all... No. Come on, Keith and Joan, you start to midnight every night anyway, don't you? They're, you go and ask them. They're always late night hours. They'll be celebrating the new year. Well, I wonder what this year's been like for you. Has there been joy? Has there been sorrow? Has you had good health? Has there been sickness? Has there been grief? Has there been sadness? Has there been a new child, a new grandchild, a new great-grandchild? Or has there been sorrow and has there been that sense of death even? Has there been weddings? Has there been separation? The ups and downs of life. I wonder what your year is like. Now, it's not unusual at this time of year to reflect on the year gone and think about the year ahead. If I think about my own life, family life, those of you know, and you've got lots of kids, there's always ups and downs of family life, and we've had one of those kind of ups and down years, and many of you have journeyed through all the court cases with our foster child, Stefan, and just the difficulty of that and the anguish in our hearts for that and our hearts still ache for that. And then there's been lots of joy. This morning, where's Rebecca? Where is she? Where is she? There. Okay, everyone say, hi, Luke, next to Rebecca. So this happened in our family. I'm going to embarrass him because he came to church today. Sorry, Luke. Look, here's the thing. If you are going to stick around, you better get used to being a sermon illustration. Ask Becca. That's the way it goes. But this is if you're visiting, this is my oldest daughter, and this is the first real boyfriend. So, I've got four daughters, and so I haven't coped well, let me tell you. No, but he's treating Becca nice. Well done, Luke. He's a nice boy. He's treating her well. And, yep. What? Aren't I allowed to embarrass him, yeah? That's all right. No, he's treating her well. Good on you, Luke. He's doing well. A nice young Christian man. That's what we want, isn't it? So good on him. So go and congratulate him. But you can imagine as a father, the ups and downs of that for me. Whoa, we won't get all into that now. But, boy, that's hard. Where's all the dads out there? Hand up if you're a dad and you've got a daughter. Yeah. Come on, you're with me, aren't you, dads? I mean, boys, come on. Yeah, okay. Everyone's nodding their head. We know how this works. But there's the ups and downs and the joys of family, isn't there? And then there's the difficult things. And many of you have dealt with grief this year. We've had, in our family, we haven't had to face much grief this year. In fact, my great-grandmother, who about 2 years ago, Dad called me in to organise the funeral, suddenly has perked up in the last bit and getting better and better. So she's getting stronger. So I don't know how that works, but that's family life. She's still very confused, but she's happy and comfortable. And you go in there and she'll tell you all these great stories about how she's been travelling to Paris and all these things, and you just go, oh, it's great, Grandma. That's great. But this is the ups and downs of life, isn't it? You can probably think of some real fun stuff that's happened. You can probably think of some stuff that's been really painful this year. And I guess the thing for me, you know, even in church, we've had people join our church, we've had people come to faith, we've had baptisms. We've also had a few people not come anymore. Even in church life, right? Ups and downs, yes? I guess the question for me is, where's God in all that? I don't know if you know the book series. I'll just quick turn that on. That might work then. I don't know if you know the book series. What's this called? Where's Wally? I like these books. And if you don't know Where's Wally, you need to get some of these books. They're a lot of fun. And so there's all these crazy stuff going on, and somewhere Wally, who's that picture there, is in the picture. Now on the screen, you probably won't be able to find him there. You can have a look later. And there's all this stuff going around, and there's all these things happening, and you've got to find where's Wally in this picture. And I guess for us today, I just want us to pause today for a few moments and reflect, where was God? Because you know what? Life can be a bit like where's Wally. There can be so much stuff going on, and you know, I've got five kids at home, and I know about all that stuff, and work, and family, and sometimes we don't stop enough and ask, well, where's God in that? He's a bit lost. He's like Wally. And so I'd like us to ask that as followers of Jesus. And so today, as we're zipping through life, I want us to stop and reflect on that. Where is God in that? We're ready to launch into another year, aren't we? Who's ready? Ready to go? And so as I started to think about this new season, this change of year, I started to think about what in the Bible, what images come to me about this sense of transition or the season ahead, and what God might have to say about it. And I started to think about the people of Israel in the Old Testament. Now, they had lots of times like this. But what came to my mind was Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I know we read Hebrews. We're going to glimpse at that in a moment. But really, I want to focus on Deuteronomy chapter 8 today. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, now remember in your Bibles, you've got headings. The headings weren't in the original text. They're just to tell us what's about. But the heading in my Bible says, a call to remember and obey. A call to remember and obey. So the people of Israel were told to remember who God is, what God has done, and to obey as they go forward. They're looking back and they're looking forward. And if we jump ahead to chapter 9, we see verse of chapter 9, listen, O Israel, today you are about to cross the Jordan River to take over the land belonging to nations much greater and more powerful than you. They live in cities with walls that reach the sky. So here's Israel. Here's where the situation. If you don't know your Bible at the start, there's this guy Abraham. He's given a promise that he's going to be built into a nation and given a land. He's going to be blessed, and through him, the whole world is going to be blessed. And the nation of Israel was born through this person, Abraham. But they were taken into slavery, and they were captured in Egypt. So they were slaves in Egypt. Who knows if they helped build the Great Pyramids, maybe. I don't know. You can go and research that. They probably built some stuff in there as slaves. We were told in the Bible they were making what? Who remembers? What were they making? Bricks. Who knows what they were doing? But God's people were in slavery in Egypt. But God rescued them out of slavery, right? So then you've got this, all these people, the Israelites or the Jews, they come out of slavery in Egypt, and God's doing what he said he'd do. He said to Abraham, I'll make you a nation. What do you know? We've said this year several times, what God says he does. God's the God of keeping promises. So Abraham, he promised. The people get into slavery, but then he takes them out of slavery, but then they start to complain, and they don't trust, and they're afraid, and they're whinging, and so God punishes them, and he disciplines them, and he sends them for 40 years in the desert before they get to the promised land. Okay, so you with me so far? So here's Israel, and God says here, you're just about to cross the River Jordan and go into everything I've promised you. Okay, so they're... Talk about change of years or change of seasons. Israel at this point is right on the precipice of a new season with God. And so I guess as we look at that new season, I want to see what God told them and what he might tell us. And there's kind of two main sections to Deuteronomy 8 that he speaks to us and to them that I want to just briefly mention. And the first one is in verses 1 to 6. And it's really asking, where is God in the difficult times? Maybe as you look back on the year past or as you look on the year that you're going to face. Deuteronomy 31 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And that promise in Jesus Christ has become even more real, hasn't it? More assured. Because we're told by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have an inheritance that is guaranteed and cannot be shaken. Amen? Can't be stopped. Matthew Brown, child of God, now and forever, nothing is going to change that. But God says, be strong and courageous. So where is God in the difficult times? Have a look at verses 1 to 6 of chapter 8 if you have your Bibles. I'm just going to read through those six verses there. Be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out, your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. And so this first section of Deuteronomy 8, as they're standing on the precipice of going into this promised land, is talking about the tough times they've faced, right? I mean, he's talking about the time in the desert where God says he was doing what? What does he say he was doing? There's a couple of words there. He was humbling them. He was teaching them. He was reminding them to rely on. So there's all this teaching and learning. And so I guess the first thing is we're supposed to ask in the difficult times, where is God in that? Now, it's not always easy to work it out, is it? Do you know times someone would come to me and we say, where is God in that? And I say, I don't know what he's doing. Sometimes you're going to have to wait to heaven to find out, I'm afraid. I don't have all the answers for everything God is doing, but I do know this, God is always at work. Yes? Do you believe that? God is always at work. And we're told that, and we're promised that as his children, he always loves us. And so we should be asking questions, what's God doing in the midst of that difficulty? It's a hard one to ask when you're in the midst of it, isn't it? I mean, go and have a chat to Elizabeth after about her current journey. I mean, it's hard to ask those questions. But the reality is God expects us to trust him, to find out what he's teaching us and humbling us in the tough times. He expects that. He expects us to have a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit. When I was a Woolies manager, most of all the promotions came from within the company. And that was just how Woolies tend to work. Occasionally, they would ring someone in from Coles or the old Franklins and get them in to be a Woolies manager because they had retail experience. Very rarely did they take someone from a different field and bring them into Woolies. But a couple of times they tried it. It was normally a miserable failure. I remember one time they roped in a McDonald's manager to come and be a Woolies manager. And he came in and, you know, he had some management skills, but what did he know about supermarkets? Nothing. So what did he need to do? He needed to what? To learn, to humble himself, to be a good manager. But he didn't want to do that. And so he came in, started telling everyone what to do, and it just failed, and he ended up quitting and leaving. He couldn't handle it. God expects us to have a teachable spirit, to be learning and growing and humbling. Now, we can have a great debate about why bad things happen. We're not going to get into that today, but there is a great debate. You know, does God cause it? Does God just allow it? Does the devil do it and God's allowed it? How does it all work? We're not going to wrestle with that all today, but there's some big theological questions of why bad things happen in our lives. And we're not going to answer all those today. But what I do know, the Bible says clearly that through those difficult times, we're supposed to learn and to grow and to trust and persevere. And God says through that, he's forming us. Yes, you believe that? It's hard, isn't it? So I don't know how it all is caused. We can talk about that later. But I do know that through the difficult times, we're supposed to ask, where is God in that? What are you teaching me, God? What am I learning through the difficult times? That's the first thing. Now, there's a sense for Israel where God says, don't worry, I'm with you or for you. And as I said before, we're in a better place. Because after the resurrection of Jesus, we have this guarantee that we know for sure that God is with us and for us. That can't be changed. But the first section here, I just want us to stop and think. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. I'm going to pause and you're going to think about the difficult things you face this year. And I just want you to bow your head and pray for a moment and ask God, God, what were you teaching me through that difficult thing? You've got about 30 seconds just to pause. What were you learning through that difficult thing this year? Now, I know that's a big question and it's probably going to bring up a whole lot of emotions, and I know there's no easy answers, and I invite you to come and have prayer after if you need, but I think it's a question we're supposed to ask. I shared about my difficulty with my foster child, Stefan. I'll share what God's been teaching me this year through the difficulty. I come from a family of generations and generations of people that have married for their whole life and stayed together, and I've never had to deal with that sense of brokenness. It's the reality of families all around us, isn't it? So God was teaching me a greater sense of compassion and empathy and understanding for that sense of hurt in families, because I've had to deal with visitations and all these different things and courts, and I haven't had to deal with that before. And so God's awakened a greater empathy and an understanding for families that are hurting. And that's what God's been teaching me in my difficult things. I don't know what it is for you. But we're supposed to ask that question because God is still doing something in the difficult times. And he reminded Israel that. Well, I think for us there's an actual greater danger. For Israel, that was probably their greater danger, was that they go and that they complained as soon as they faced difficulty. But for us, I think this second one is actually a greater danger because of where we live and how much we have. It's where is God in the good times? And you probably can't read that much. I'm going to read it from the text out of my Bible. I'm going to read all the way actually from verses 7 to 13. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is as abundant as the hills. When you've eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. You hear that? Just stop there. That's the time. This is the time to be careful, says God. Beware that in your plenty, who had Christmas lunch? Who got presents? Yeah, we did all right, didn't we, in Caves Beach in Australia? Be careful, beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, oh, boy, this sounds like Caves Beach. And when your flocks and herds have become, I don't have a flock and herd, anyone got goats out the back? Anyone? Sorry. When your flocks and herds become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. I'm going to keep reading verse 15. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna, and on it goes. And as I said, I mean, this sounds a lot like us. Be very careful in the good times. What was God doing? What were you learning? Who were you blessing with all your money and stuff in the good times? Now, I know there's still the reality of some struggles. We've got a family of seven. We know about trying to pay electricity bills and all these sort of stuff. I know you don't just sail through and there's no pressures, but we do pretty well, don't we? Yes? Everyone nod your head and say, yeah, we go all right. You look around the world, we go pretty well. That's one of the reasons why I love going to India, and you just get awakened in your spirit of how much stuff we've got. And in fact, this is when we're the biggest danger of being like, where's Wally? Where's God? Because often in the difficult times, it's when we press into God because we're desperate, right? But when things are going good, it's easy to just put God to the side and go, well, we'll get back to you when I need you, God. You know, a bit like a vending machine. You know, a vending machine prayer. I'll put my money in when I need it and then I'll just ignore it the rest of the time. Yeah, Stefan knows we've been talking about him today. See, he's up the front. And I actually believe this is one of the reasons in our plenty and our blessing that the soil is very difficult in our culture. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Jesus told that story. Jesus told stories. One of the stories told was about scattering the seeds. In other words, sharing Jesus with people. And he said some of the seed's going to go on rocky ground, some's going to go on the path, some's going in the thorns, and some's going in the good soil. And he talked about where those seeds are going. And I have a sense for us, I don't know about you, but because we have so much, the ground is very difficult. Does that make sense? Because in plenty, you can forget God often, can't you? It's pretty easy to do. I mean, I'm a pastor, I can do that. And in fact, for me, when I'm on holidays, I have to work harder in my relationship with God than when I'm working. You know that? Because when I'm working, I'm in a routine of Bible reading and prayer. And then I go on holidays and I sleep in, I read the paper, and I get to lunchtime and go, oh, where was God in that? It can be done, can't it, on holidays? All those people that are going to enjoy holidays. Because in the good times of blessing, it's much easier to ignore God and forget. And so we're going to be asking this question in the difficult times, and we're going to be asking this question in the good times. Where was God? What's he doing? What's he saying? What's he teaching us? What's he asking us to? I've shared before, we have a Christmas tradition in our family. When the kids, Christmas morning, now they're all pumped for presents, right? They're all excited. And I'm tired because there's lots of services around Christmas and I'm in bed. Can't we just have another bit more sleep, you know? And they're jumping at the bit. And we get out with all the presents around everywhere. And you know what we do before we open presents? We pray. And we stop and we give thanks to God for who he is. We pray for maybe our sponsor children. Or we, in the midst of this awesome time. Now you might say, come on, Matt, that's a bit unfair. It's Christmas. Well, this is just something we're trying to teach our kids. You know, you're blessed. And in the good times, you've got to say, I still rely on God. There's still people struggling. I'm not going to forget God in the good times. Do you follow? So find ways to do that, to make sure in your plenty you're pausing and stopping and praying and giving thanks and being generous. Because what the people of Israel were told is that they were supposed to completely rely on God, because in fact they do. And we're supposed to have this sense that we completely rely on God. That famous quote, there but for the grace of God go I. A lot of arrogant people think that, you know, they did it all. There but for the grace of God go I. If you have a look in your Bible again, in chapter 8 again of Deuteronomy, verse 3, yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and feeding you. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. So in other words, God says, look, you live by me, not just by bread. Verse 10, when you've eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. God was doing it. Verse 14, God rescued you from slavery. Verse 18, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power. So God just keeps reminding them that you completely rely on God. This year I've been talking about that sense that Jesus reigns no matter what anyone says. Yes? Doesn't matter what anyone says, Jesus reigns. And it's our job to alert people to that reality. And so we do rely on God for every breath we take, but we are supposed to constantly remember that and ask God to keep reminding us of that. And so here we stand, ready for another year, and we're often told not to look back, aren't we? Well, I don't think that's quite right. There's plenty of quotes that say, don't look back and grieve over the past, for it is gone. Live in the present. Make it so beautiful that won't be worth looking back. Don't look back, you'll miss what's in front of you. We even used to sing a song in church. Did Swansea ever sing this one? We're not looking back. No, didn't sing that one. This is an old Jeff Ball Hill song one. We're not looking down, we're only looking up. Well, I don't think that's actually quite right. I think in some sense we are supposed to leave behind our past mistakes and all those things and live in the grace of God. But we are supposed to look back at what God has done, aren't we? We're supposed to look back and say, God has been faithful. He's done what he promised and he keeps doing it. We're supposed to remember that. Next week we're going to have communion. We're going to be looking back to look forward. We're going to look back at what Jesus has done. And so here we are at this new season. We're looking back, remembering last year, what was God teaching us, what was God doing. We're looking forward and we're saying, God, would you make sure you be at the center of all we do? So what I'm really asking you to do, I mean, what am I really asking today? I'm asking us to ask that question. Where is God in that? Whether it's good or bad. I'm asking you to ask that around your dinner table with your kids. I'm asking you to ask that with your spouse. I'm asking you to ask that in your work. Where is God and what are you doing? Always asking God, where are you? What are you doing? God, what's going on here in this difficult situation? What am I supposed to be learning? What are you teaching me? God, in this joyous time, where am I supposed to be generous with what you've given me? Always asking God, where is God and what he was doing? And I'm going to challenge you this week, each night at dinner, if you're there with your spouse or kids, I want you to ask the other person, where was God today? Okay, that's your job. You got it? We might do that a few times this year. You're going to ask, where was God today? And there might be some great stuff that happened, or there might be some terrible stuff, but I want you to reflect, where was God and what was he doing? Because in the difficult times, God's still at work, and you're supposed to be relying on him, trusting and asking, what are you teaching? And in the great times, it's easy to forget God. And so you're supposed to be relying and trusting in the great times. I mean, what I'm really asking is this, that the center of all we'll do will be who? Jesus. I mean, there's two reasons, just in finishing, why I read Hebrews chapter 12. The first reason I read Hebrews chapter 12, well, Rihanna read it for us, was because it talks about God disciplining his children. And so don't think that sense of discipline is just for the Old Testament. There it is in Hebrews. But also it says there, in the midst of that, what do? We keep our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. So that's what I'm really asking, that in the ups and downs of life, whether you've had it this year that's going, you've had a difficult year or a great year, whether next year, whatever's going on, that Jesus will be at the center and you'll keep asking, where's God in this? And it won't be like, where's Wally? You'll get to the end of the year and you go, whoa, a lot of stuff, but I can't see God and what he was doing. Jesus be the center. Let's pray and then we're going to finish with a song. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for every breath you give us, because it all relies on you. You hold the life and breath of all things, we're told in Acts, and we believe that. So thank you, God, for this year. Lord, some are going to go home with a bit of a heavy heart because they've been reflecting on some really tough stuff that's happened this year. And we would pray your strength and your courage and your peace be upon them as you grow them in faith. Some, God, are going to go home and think, I've had a fantastic year, but I'm not sure where God was in that. And Lord, would you challenge those hearts that they might discover how to make sure you're at the center of what they're doing and that they're generous with all you've given them. So Lord, I'm just asking that for everyone, including me, you would be at the center of the difficult times and at the center of the good times. And that we would keep asking what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're leading us to, what you're calling us to, who are you calling us to? We'd keep following and chasing after your heart, God, through the good times and the bad times. So Lord, lead us individually and lead our church into 2018 with Jesus at the center. And the people of God said, Amen.